High King of Heaven. Great, great song. Thank you. Thank you so much. Take your Bible and let's go to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 5. And I want you to look with me at verse number 6. We're going to look at the Beatitudes tonight. And the message I simply entitled, Check Your Attitude. How's yours? Got a good one?
Amen.
Thank you very much. All right. Got one somebody that's thinking about attitude. Hope you've got an attitude that is good. Beatitudes. These are not the do attitudes. These are the be attitudes. All right? You've got to be before you do. Now, we have the Ten Commandments. And the commandments are actions, but the Beatitudes are attitudes. We have the Ten Commandments, they speak of conduct, but the Beatitudes speak of character. And it is out of this attitude that action flows. We so often want to get the river running the wrong way. You see, if you just think, if I do the right thing, my attitude will be correct. Oh, no. It's out of the inner man that flow the issues of life. And so as your spirit life is made correct, and you are in surrender to the High King of Heaven, then out of that beatitude will flow the actions. So out of the beatitudes come the commandments. And tonight, I want us to look at this middle commandment that I think is a turning post for all of the beatitudes. Matthew 5 and verse number 6. Matthew 5 and verse number 6. You have it there in your copy of Scripture, and the Bible says, and just read it out loud with me, wouldn't you please? You see it there on the screen. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Let's say it again. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Now, I want you to look down in verse 3, and then I want you to look in verse 10. Verse 3 introduces the Beatitudes, and verse 10 brings us to a semi-conclusion of the Beatitudes. But look at verse number 3. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Forget that part. We'll come back to it in a minute. It says, for theirs is the what? The kingdom of heaven. Look in verse number 10. Blessed are those who have been persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is what? The kingdom of heaven. The Beatitudes begin with the kingdom of heaven. The Beatitudes end with the kingdom of heaven. Hear me. As a Christ follower, you are not living for the kingdom of yourself. You are not living for the kingdom of the church. You are living for the kingdom of heaven. It is another world. Therefore, you are not living in your own mind, will, and emotion. You are not living in your own body. But that rules you is your spirit. And if your spirit is not surrendered, and if you're not filled with the Spirit of God, then you will not show the attitude of the kingdom. I'm amazed we look at children sometimes, and a parent will say, don't you have attitude with me? And you know what that means. Man, they're bowing up, aren't they? I say, well, I'll show you. And they've got an attitude. And when we say they've got an attitude, it usually means they have a very negative attitude. But here Jesus is saying, have an attitude. Just have the right one. Have the kingdom attitude. Don't have a competitive attitude. Don't have an angry attitude. Certainly don't have a fleshly attitude. Liz and I were at home last night, and we were about to have dinner, and just before dinner was ready, we flipped on a television, and we were watching some things that older people watch, and so we watched there for a few minutes, and then we were just commercial camera, we were flipping, and we came to public television. You ever watch public television? A little bit? I don't very much. But last night, they had a cathedral quartet deal on public television. It was the farewell concert. And so for about 10 minutes, we listened. And those old boys were going at it. They're great guys. And Liz went over to the iPad and she looked at the cathedrals and the list of how many men in the history of the cathedral quartet were in it. It's like this long. I mean, through the years, you know, they traded. They had the old two old-timers forever. But then the two guys that changed. And then they brought everybody up on the platform, and it was a Bill Gaither thing. And at the end of it, as it was going off, we saw about the last 10 minutes. And they had the Statler brothers, and they had, of course, the cathedrals. And Sandy Patty was there, and Buddy Green, who's been here with us, you know, with the harmonica. And all those singers were, and I mean, man, they were showing out. And they, you know, it was just, and my wife looked over at me and she said, "Man, have you ever seen such flesh in all your life?" I said, "Yes, it's almost as bad as when preachers get together." Ain't no business like show business. Amen. And, you know, they got stage presence and they, you know, there's some show in that. There's some great men in there. Don't hear me say they're not. But it just kind of put forth man. You know, you can teach and preach like that. And if you're not careful, flesh, if it's not under self-control, will really shine and you'll have the wrong attitude. But in this text, he that hungers and thirsts after righteousness, this is the man that's going to be satisfied, or as the KJV says, is going to be filled. So the Spirit, verse 3, verse 10, that theirs is the kingdom of heaven, that the kingdom is in you and that the attitude of the kingdom is flowing through you. So let me show you three things about this Spirit-filled attitude. Number one, I want you to see what I call the pathway to the Spirit-filled life. It's in verses 3, 4, and 5. Then we will see the process of the Spirit-filled life, and it's in verse 6, which is the text that we look at tonight. And then in verses 7, 8, 9, and 10, we will see the proof of the Spirit-filled life. Number one, let's look at the pathway to the Spirit-filled life. How do we come to be Spirit-filled believers? Verse 3, verse 4, verse 5. Look at it. It says this: "Blessed are the poor in spirit. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Verse number 4, "Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted." Verse 5, "Blessed are the gentle or the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." These three steps on the pathway to the Spirit-filled life. Number one, they must be poor in spirit. That didn't mean, it does not say they have to be poor of pocketbook. It says they have to be poor of spirit. That means your spirit has to be broken. You have to be dead to yourself. You got to die to you. Your spirit must die. And I'm telling you, if your fleshly spirit begins to rise, I'm here to tell you, you won't have the kingdom of heaven. You'll have the kingdom of earth. And you'll build an earthly kingdom. But when you come to the place of being poor in spirit, you are broken before the Lord. I share this with you, and I probably share it too many times and you get tired of hearing it, but that I say over and over is usually that you finally get in your head. Dr. Rogers, it taught me what I do before I preach, and I did it tonight, and I did it this morning, and I'll do it next Sunday, and before I come to the pulpit, I always do those three things of lifting my hands up and saying, "Praise the Lord." Secondly, put my hands right out like this, and I say, "Lord, I die to myself. I die to this sermon, I die to my plan, I die to whatever I think was supposed to happen. Lord, I'm just dead to myself. I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live." And then I put my hands like this and I say, "Lord, and I receive your unction, your power, because I cannot do what I have planned. I cannot do what need be done in this service today. So Holy Ghost of God, come on me. I am poor of spirit, but you are all powerful." You see, God can do that quick more than we can do in 10 years. And so we become poor of spirit and we die to ourselves. That doesn't mean we don't study. That doesn't mean we don't work at it. That means we bring all of our study and all of our work. And then we say, "Lord, if you want to go another direction, fine. And if not, then breathe into what I'm about to do, the breath of life today." I had a plan this morning. I had a plan to get up and do what I normally do on Sunday morning. My phone rang at, 5:30, and they wanted me to know that Mr. Corky's about to die, and, it didn't happen before 4:30 this afternoon, but they didn't know, and so that kind of threw me for a curve and kind of upset my quiet time and, being where I wanted to be and do, and so I ran over. I got back, but I got to church early. I was amazed. I came walking in here a little before 7 o'clock. Weren't many people here, and I beat the seniors here this morning. And that's hard to do. I am just telling you, you announce a meeting at 11, they're here at 9:30. And so there weren't many people here, one or two. So I just started meandering around the building, and I just prayed all over this building this morning. I said, oh, Spirit of the living God, come. Breathe on us. God, do a work over here in the encourager room today. And God, do it back here in the choir. And just walk through here and all those booths that were out there this morning. I just said, oh, God, fill this place up with your power and your glory. It was good for me to get out of my routine. Sometimes you get in a rut in your routine. And so that kind of bounced. And I just said, Lord, I'm just out of my routine today. And I just want to die to who I am and live to you. You got to begin. If you're going to be filled with the Spirit, you must be poor in spirit. Secondly, he says you must mourn. Look at it in verse number 4. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. For those that mourn. That's an interesting verse. Does this have anything to do with death? Not really, except the death of yourself. It has nothing to do with the death of people. Will your granddaddy die? Some tough. When they mourn, they come and say, oh Lord, I'm dead to me. Dead to me. And there's this mourn that comes in your life. You die to self. You shall be comforted. We have a comforter. Yeah. He's the helper. He's the parakletos. He's the Holy Spirit of God. And when you get poor of spirit and die to yourself and you mourn and you say, oh God, I'm just dead to me. I'm telling you, the comforter begins to come in your life. It is the process. It is the pathway toward the filling of the Holy Spirit. And then the third step in being poor in spirit, mourning, notice it in the next verse there, in verse number 5, and blessed are the gentle. If you're in the King James, it says the meek. Blessed are the meek or the gentle, for they shall inherit the earth. That word meekness, that word gentle there, is the same thing of like putting a bit in the mouth of a horse. You take a wild stallion and you break that horse and you bring all of that strength under the power of the trainer. That's when you're gentle. It's when all of your strength and power is brought under the command of the trainer. His name is Jesus. And when that happens, we become meek and gentle people. Now, meek doesn't mean weak. Some of the most gentle people I know are some of the most powerful people I know. Because this word is not speaking of weakness, it's speaking of gentleness. And gentleness is strength, not evaporated and gone. It is strength, but simply is under control and not lashing out and going the wrong way. It is the strength that comes so it can move mountains in your life. Here's the spirit-filled life. Poor in spirit, mourning, and gentle. That is the pathway to the spirit-filled life. Now, I'm going to give you the other two in just a moment. But I got a special guest I want to introduce to you tonight. And I got a word a few days ago from my buddy old Ronnie Coleman over at Emmanuel Baptist Church, who's doing a super job, by the way, over at Emmanuel. They walked through some tough days and different things, and now Ronnie's over there, came down from Tennessee, and he asked me about the church. And you walk right through Pace, you see it right there on the right, and they built a great building, and they've just done a good work, and now Ronnie's there, and they're filling that thing up, and they're reaching a lot of folks and doing a good thing. I see his people all the time. I tell him, I said, son, old Ronnie, he's going to heaven if he doesn't run by it. I'm telling you, he's a firebrand. He's doing a great work, and praying he comes and stays a while. And he had invited our good friend Iris Blue to be with them this morning, and she spoke over there. And then I got a text from Iris yesterday, I think, and she said, Pastor, I'm speaking over there, and we're just going to stay over and spend the night. And the sweet lady that's traveling with her, that's with her, and said, we're just going to sit in for some teaching on Sunday night if you're going to be there. And I said, well, I am, and I'm going to be teaching. And she said, great, we're going to come. And I said, well, you can come. You're welcome, but you can't come for free. I said, you either have to write a big check, and I knew she wasn't going to do that. And I said, or you can come give a quick testimony and sing for me right in the middle of my sermon. And she said, well, and I said, well, that will be okay. Don't worry about it. That's just the way it'll be. And she certainly said she would. Iris, want you to come join me right down here and make her welcome, wouldn't you? Iris Blue is our dear friend. She's been here with us before. I've got microphone number 8, and she's going to use mic 8, and I've got it turned on. And you've been sick now for a little while. Tell us just quickly about your illness and what happened
there.
Well,
it's kind of like one of those things from head to toe, but I did have cancer.
Yeah.
And the Lord absolutely blessed. It was the most wonderful time I've had spiritually in my life, I think ever, because I would see the sad people in the doctor's office, mm-hmm. and the verse you just said, when they would say, I survived liver or this, I would listen to their whole story, and then I'd say, I survived crucifixion. It was wonderful. So it's just that. I have been crucified with Christ, and there's just a few telltale splinters. But I have the COPD, and my vision's messing up. But I have an inner vision and a dream. And so, just keep going. But my health, you do pray for me, because it's exciting how the Lord has just been a miracle.
Amen.
On every step of the way. So a lot of people saved, then some people see in church. That when I come out of surgery, I was worried about looking sad. So my son bought me a hat, one of those like they wear in England. And so in recovery, I had a hat on, and my medicine reversed. I never slept. I stayed wide awake the whole time and talked. It's hard to imagine.
Believe that.
And so I got up at midnight, walking around. The nurses had me up and passed that over 100, about 135 to 150 books on the promises for women and the plan of salvation the night I had surgery.
Amen. Well, now you mentioned your son, so tell us about your family quickly.
Okay,
how they doing?
Denim has quit traveling with me as of just a few, couple of months ago, and he's been invited to be music director at Sand Springs Baptist Church. He's not qualified for music director other than he loves to sing, loves people, and loves the Lord.
Amen.
And so they've got him.
Denim's how old now?
25.
25.
And it's just wonderful.
Good.
He gets he's the first one to ever get a regular paycheck. And he runs up to me with his paycheck like some kid with a report card, like, they paid me for praising the Lord. And so it's really been
good.
Fun.
Rest of the family doing well?
Good. Blue's still making his jewelry and traveling. And like Tuesday night, we'll all be in Stephenville at the university down there.
Right.
The
Stephen F. Austin.
Yes, we're going to speak at the football team.
Oh, good.
And, me in sports. Don't I just look like it? I'll be a cheerleader. And so, but the Lord's just continued. You know, I'm Mission Service Corps volunteer.
Right.
And I'm the longest serving volunteer in the whole convention. And that doesn't mean anything except they can't fire you. But if the Lord is showing you to do any kind of missions, it's wonderful.
Amen.
Do it.
Now, how long have you been with Mission Service Corps?
Since 1980.
1980. And when did you get saved, Iris?
76. It was 35 years this year.
35 years this year.
On Easter, March 31st.
Wow. Amen.
Is that cool?
Now, give us just about 2 minutes to tell, because some of these people, and most people know, but some people never heard your story.
That's right.
So
well,
tell us what happened to Iris.
Well, I grew up in a church. I heard about Jesus when I was 10. Like a lot of kids, I didn't want to go to hell, so I went forward. I prayed exactly what they told me to pray, but I didn't meet Jesus. I just didn't want to go to hell. And I haven't changed my mind, but that's not salvation. So when I didn't have that spirit, when I was faced with temptation, I had no resistance. And by the time I was 13, ran away from home, got involved drugs and all the filthy junk that goes with it. I was finally arrested for armed robbery, went to prison on an 8-year sentence. I did 7 of them, 3 in solitaire, because I was so ornery. See, I like me and you have a good temper again.
Yeah, amen.
Yeah, but it's good. It's so good y'all have a preacher that will fuss at you. I'm telling you, we don't have too many who'll do that. So y'all ought to really praise the Lord. But anyway, a young man heard a message that was supposed to witness, and he started witnessing to me. And on March 31st, coming up 35 years ago, out in front of an old topless bar. I was skinny back then. But right out in front of that old topless bar, he told me Jesus could make a lady out of a tramp. And I've never got over that, because I thought I had to look good. And I've met some beautiful women that wasn't very ladylike. And I met some good-looking men. Wasn't very manly. So I didn't know. I thought it was maybe how you dressed. But it's not that. If it wasn't for cross-dressing right now, I couldn't wear pantyhose. You know, because they make extra long sizes. And, you know, it's just wonderful. But,
you're killing me.
I found out it's just simply knowing Jesus.
Amen.
And he told me, like a wedding, that when you receive Jesus, you're part of the bride. And saying, I do to him is what the real prayer is. It's not just saying, come in my heart, because that wouldn't make a good wedding. Yeah. You don't have kids if you only give them your heart. But it's giving him everything and taking everything he is. So that night I realized I'm perfect in him. And for the next whatever many years it is, I'm just learning to be what I already am.
Amen.
And it's because of good teaching like this that I get to get so excited that I am a dropout. But I can sit in fellowship with people that really have theology and know what it means, know how to spell it. But I so appreciate godly preachers that preach the word and repent. You're so open. I so respect you. I just wanted to tell you how much I love you.
Well, you used a word there that reminded me. Well, you said something about men that could be good but weren't manly, and that's, it reminded me
of our
buddy Manly.
Yes.
And he was really one of the first teachers that helped you understand what we're talking about tonight with the Spirit-filled life.
Yes,
what was the first kernel of truth you got from Manly BC?
Well, first I walked up to him because I heard his message on trusting God and not finagling. Because with my background, looking back, I could have been a millionaire. You know,
sure.
I mean, people wanted to really take off with my story. And I never got a piece. I didn't know how to explain except not a red light. I just didn't have that. Go for it. And so I went to hear Brother Manley just a few weeks. And he said to me that he wanted to keep me from keep me from everything and have me close by. And he said, it's impossible to please God without faith. And that has rung through my life, and that's been my message. My burden for our churches has been that Brother Manley taught me faith is something you gotta accept, walk with, talk with, breathe with, because it's not just faith in something or name it and claim it, but it's really getting a word from God. And the first thing he taught me is don't believe anything except getting in the word.
Amen.
And then trusting him after he said it.
Amen.
And that's when I found that it said he desires my beauty.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
So I thought, well, y'all might not think I'm cute, but honey, the King of Kings thinks I'm
gorgeous. Yes, he does. Amen. Well, why don't you sing for us? And now let me finish this sermon.
All right.
After you sing, you just take that microphone and sit right there, and I'll get it from you later.
Okay.
All right. Let her rip.
Okay.
All right. Amen.
I keep falling in love with him over and over and over and over again. I keep falling in love with him over and over and over and over again. He gets sweeter and sweeter as the days go by. Oh, what a love between the Lord and I keep falling in love with him over and over and over and over again. And you see, I almost lost my breath, but I can still blow it out, even without a microphone, especially sitting down. But y'all, some wonderful weather. It got me breathing heavy, but I got to finish the last part. His name is Jesus. Jesus, sad hearts weep no more. He has healed the brokenhearted. He's opened wide the prison doors, and he is able to deliver evermore.
That's Iris Blue, and she knows about the pathway to the Spirit-filled life. And I want you to come by here and hug her neck here in just a few minutes after this service. And some of you, God's going to speak to your heart, and you need to slip her an offering tonight. Now, she walks by faith. I'm just telling you. She could be somewhere speaking tonight doing that, but she chose to come be with us. She didn't ask me to do that, and she'd probably get on me for doing it, but that's all right. I'm the pastor here. And so if you want to come give her an offer and you just slip it to her, she'll give it to her friend. They'll take care of that. All right? Amen. So I want you to see that first of all, there are the three steps, and we saw them right here, and we just talked about them in this message, the pathway to Spirit-filled life. Then there's the process of the Spirit-filled life. That's verse 6 that we talked about. After you walk in the poor spirit, mourning, and gentleness leading you to this brokenness, you come to the process. Process is in verse 6. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled or satisfied. Do you see the paradox in that? They are hungry, yet filled. Both those things in the same thing. If you're hungry, you're filled. And you must remain hungry to be filled. And let me tell you, friend, being filled with the Holy Spirit, walking in the Spirit-filled life, is a process of hunger for the things of God. It's praying, it's reading, it's fellowship, it's crying out to God. And as you hunger for the things of God, He fills you up so that you can give it out. And when you give it out, you're hungry again. And you come back to the Word. And that is the process that goes on. It is just like the physical process in you, but it's not your physical body. It's your spirit life where the Spirit of God is filling you and flooding you. And watch this, if you're not giving it away, you'll gorge yourself and you'll have spiritual fat. And then you can't move and do nothing. But you see, as you take in from the Spirit of God, you must give out. And when you give out, you get hungry again. You come back to replenish, and you come from the Word. That's why you need to be in church. That's why you need to be in fellowship. That's why you need to be in daily Bible study time. That's why you need to take in, and you give out. You take in, and you go out. That's the process. And if you ever just have coming in. This is this crowd that comes to me and says, oh, Pastor, I just love to come to church because you feed me. Bless God, not my job to feed you. Feed yourself. Who is it we feed? We only feed little bitty babies. When you grow up, start feeding yourself. Amen? Oh, I just want to come where I can be fed. Well, I don't want you here. You know, people that just come to be fed, they'll sit and sour and soak. And I'm here to tell you, after a while, they'll attack you. Because then you begin to feed them something they don't want. You see, those that are eating and then giving, then they have to come back because there's replenishing and they're building spiritual muscle within their life. That's the process of the Spirit-filled life. Now, there's a time to rest because you can't be always giving, nor can you always be receiving. But you must be doing both because it is a spiritual cycle of the process that is within your spirit life. Flow in and flow out. Flow in and flow out. There be great seasons of giving. And then there are great seasons of taking in. Sometimes you need to step aside and just rest for a little while. Go on a spiritual retreat and cry out unto the Lord. As Iris was sharing, I was thinking about the time we met each other in Israel one time. She was with a group and I was with a group, and we ran into each other, and we were in Jerusalem. And boy, what a great time it is to go to Israel, where you refresh and you take in while you're there. But then you come back and you give out. You give out. You give out. I had a young lady one time came to me and she said, Pastor, when are we going to have the next great revival at Olive? I said, well, if I'm preaching next Sunday, amen. And she looked at me funny. She said, no, you know. I said, listen, darling, you don't have to call in a special preacher and a special singer. I said, God's here all the time. I said, we do have those seasons of harvest and we're planning some of those. And I understood what she meant. But you see, if you're just living from event to event, you haven't figured out the process. The event you're taking in now, the event is tonight you're going to see somebody you're giving away. You see somebody tomorrow you minister to and you're giving away so that in the morning you take in. That's the process. Those that hunger and thirst, those are the people that'll be filled. Amen. So you begin with this pathway of walking in brokenness and this humility and mourning. And then the process continues as you receive and give out. And then what's the proof that you're in the process? It's found in verses 7, 8, 9, and 10. Here are those four proofs, I believe, that flow right out of verse number 6. Blessed are the merciful. Let me tell you, if you're full of Jesus, you'll be full of mercy. be ye full of mercy. There was a couple here this morning. They came from Orlando and they brought a friend, a young lady with them, and she came up to me, the older lady did this morning. She said, "Pastor, we brought a friend. You've never been to your church, may never be back. I don't know if we ever be here or not, but we brought her, and she's been away from the Lord. And she came today, and here's her card, and I'd like you all to follow up with her if you would." And I said, we certainly will. And I gave that to Brother Fred tonight. I said, "We need to get on that." And he's got that card. We'll work on that. So she gave me that down here at the front, and I meandered out in the missions area, and I was here about 15, 20 minutes, and I started out the door, and I got all the way to the front. And there stood that lady. And there was a young girl by, and I thought, this is her. And the Spirit of God spoke to me. And let me tell you, friend, if you'll walk in the Spirit life, He'll talk to you. And He'll put you where you need to be, and you don't even understand why you're there. And I walked by, and I said, "Hey, how y'all? Are y'all visiting today?" And she said, "Yeah, I met you down front." I said, "Yes, ma'am, I remember." And I turned, shake this lady's hand, and I said, "Are you here first time today?" And she said, "Yeah." And boy, we just had the greatest time visiting right there. And then the security man that's always with me, one of our security guys, walking by, and she looked at the security officer, and she said, "Well, I know you." And they began to talk, and so as we walked down, I said, "Phew, well, that's always tough, because if I meet a guest and they know the security officer is with me, that usually means they've been somewhere in trouble." But that was not the case here, but we just began to reach out and love on this young lady. Now, I'm just telling you, it does not come natural to my life to be merciful. There is nothing natural in me to be merciful. Now, I'll let you on a little secret. There's nothing in you that's naturally merciful. What's in you naturally is to love you. Mm-hmm. We just come by that honestly. I can just tell you right now, I like me. I'm right fond of the preacher. I am. I have to die to that so that God can make me merciful to other people. And the process, when you take in, I'm just telling you, God will be there where you can give out. And the first thing that happens is that you're merciful. And when you show mercy, you receive mercy. Watch this. If you give it, it'll come back to you. If you want people to love you, start loving somebody. And the more folk you love, the more folk will love you. Well, it's what Proverbs says about friends. You want to have friends, show yourself friendly. If you want to show mercy, if you want to have mercy, want people to love on you, love on them. Secondly, is pure in heart. Look at it in verse number 8. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. To be pure, I'm telling you, when the Spirit of God is in you and this process is coming in and you're hungering and you're eating and you're giving out, not only will mercy flow out of you, but I'm telling you, there will be a purity of heart that will come in your life. You won't tell nasty stories. You won't even tell a little off-color stuff. Because the Spirit of God will rise up and He will slay that is impure in your life. I'm always fearful when I get around men and they say, "Well, since there's not any ladies here, I'll tell them." I say, "Well, the Bride of Christ is here." Yeah. The Spirit of God brings a purity. I mean, if my wife doesn't need to hear it, I probably don't need to. Amen. But she's a better lady than I am a man. She come near overcoming it, and I could. Amen. Pure in heart. Thirdly, you show it by being a peacemaker. Look at it in verse 9. Blessed are the peacemakers. Not those that love peace. Oh, we got a lot of people that love peace, but these are not peace lovers. These are peacemakers. These are folks that work at, for they shall be called the very sons of God. Peacemakers. They make peace. Mark this down. If you are sowing discord in the body of Christ, you are full of yourself and probably full of the devil. You're not full of the Spirit of God. Peacemakers. They work to bring peace in the body of Christ. There's a certain crowd always that they're stirring up stuff, just meanness. You can just get around them and you know it's not going to be sweet and it's not going to be fun because they are not peacemakers. They're discord sowers. And it just means they're walking in the flesh, not in the spirit. But the spirit life shows mercy. And the spirit life shows purity. And the spirit life shows peacemaking. I don't mean you just bend over and you don't take a stand and just say, what, everything goes. No. But you work. You have to work to reconcile people and bring them back together. It's not the easiest work you'll ever do. As a matter of fact, you can't do it, but the Spirit of God can. Because He is the great peacemaker. And then the last proof is found in verse 10. Blessed are those who have been persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Dear friend, if you're walking in kingdom power, you will. I didn't say you might. I mean you will come against spiritual obstacles in your life. There will be things that will come against you. We live now in an era in the culture of America where if you stand in the spirit life, you better be walking in purity and peacemaking. You better be. You better be walking in power, because I'm telling you, this world is going to come against the evangelical church today. We've had a shift come. Do you know in the 60s, back when I was just a kid, that the traditional church, now what I mean by that is I mean old mainline Methodists and Presbyterians and liberal Baptists, they were the in bunch. But in the 60s, they began to be out of favor with our culture, and evangelicals came in. They always had a place at the White House, and Billy Graham being called there, and that began to happen with Nixon and Carter. We saw it Democrat and Republican, and all the way through with Bill Clinton and George Bush 1 and George Bush 2, and we saw that. But all of a sudden, I'm telling you what has happened is there has been a new liberalism in America where the evangelicals now are on the outside, and the old liberal mainline denomination is back in vogue in America. She's a very minority report. Nobody's going to those churches, but I'm telling you, the leadership is back in vogue, and they're very liberal. This is the same-sex marriage crowd. It's just in vogue. Do you see what's happening? I mean, the Boy Scouts of America and what they're facing. If you stand with the Boy Scouts that homosexuals shouldn't be, you get your brains beat out. I'm telling you, we had a speaker down at the, Dr. Lyle spoke at the governmental prayer breakfast. It's one of the most powerful things I've heard in all my life. He did a phenomenal job. He made a statement. He said, you know, there's been two little boys kicked out of school for doing this. They made a gesture with their hand like it was a gun. I made guns out of everything I owned when I was 8 years old. I used to get the breastbone out of the turkey on Thanksgiving and make a gun out of it. Yeah, it makes a great one. And then you carve the ends off of it, it makes a truck. Play one in the backyard. Here's what Dr. Lyle said. He said, you can make this gesture and get kicked out of school. But if you use your middle finger, that's freedom of speech. That's the culture we live in. And if you begin to stand against that, let me tell you, persecution is going to come. Don't be surprised. Because blessed are those that the spiritual obstacles come against them. I just had a weird thought. Somebody just flipped on their live internet feed and saw me do that. And I will get mail this week for that. In Jesus' name, I was making an illustration. I wasn't doing that just to you. They've already turned it off. They just came and went, and they said, wow, what a preacher. I repent. That just ran through my mind right there. I thought that wouldn't be good. Persecution comes from every side, every side. Maybe I'll put my hands like this for a while. Don't be surprised. Boy Scouts, gay married. Now, one of our Southern Baptist preachers invited to pray at the inauguration was set aside because he preached a sermon 20 years ago that was recorded where he came out against homosexuality as a sin, and he was no longer fit to pray at the inauguration. Just 4 years ago, he would have been more than welcome. But that pendulum has gone. And let me tell you, if you stand for truth, do not be surprised. One of the proofs will be that persecution will rise again. Don't go looking for it. Some people I know just, they look for a fight. You don't have to look for a fight. A fight will look for you. It'll look you up. You don't have to hunt it up. It'll just come your way. I'm about to get in one because of something I posted on the Facebook just for this service. I am shocked that the Pensacola News Journal will cover Mardi Gras every day for weeks. Every float, every parade, everything, and people have, and it's just fun, the kids go all that. But they'll cover that every day on the front page, but the governmental prayer breakfast doesn't get a stitch of ink. Why is that? Well, I'll tell you why that is. Well, I know what they'll say is they don't have enough reporters to go around, and I know they don't, and they're short-handed. But I'm telling you, we were having that deal at the same, right before they had the Mardi Gras parade. All you had to do is go an hour early, cover that, and go right out there and get you some beads and go home and write the story. They'd do both of them, couldn't they, Danny? I mean, it was right there. Now, maybe that story showed up, but I couldn't find it online, and I hadn't looked through my paper real closely today, but I know it wasn't on the front page. And we honored the superintendent of schools and the sheriff of the county was given. I thought, man, there's two great leaders. And well, wouldn't those guys be great to promote and put? Well, you got to be careful because they're going to talk about the Lord Jesus. And let me tell you, Malcolm Thomas, he preached the stars down yesterday at that meeting. I wish somebody had been there to hear him. Wow. Just get ready because it gets hot in the kitchen of the fullness of the Holy Spirit. But don't worry. The same Holy Ghost that gets you in will get you out. And he'll take care of you as long as you're in there. Amen and amen.